This morning, I'd like to share with you scripture reading from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in a human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. So at the time of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of God for God's people. Thanks be to God. Amen. The gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this: the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen. Palm Sunday has been one of the most exciting Sundays, not only for the children, but also the whole congregation. We always enjoy waving palm branches when Jesus is entering into the sanctuary, riding on a donkey, while everyone is singing, "Hosanna, Hosanna." I'm sorry that this year you cannot enjoy this palm procession of Jesus because of the COVID-19 pandemic situation that we all are going through. However, no matter what circumstances we all go through, just as Jesus was entering into the gate of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, today, Palm Sunday, Jesus is entering into the gate of your heart today. Amen. Let me share with you a Palm Sunday funny story One Palm Sunday, a little boy had a sore throat and had to stay home from church with a sitter. When the rest of the family came home, they were carrying palm branches. The little boy asked what they were for. His father told him that the people had held them over Jesus' head when he walked by. In a sad, disappointed voice, the little boy said, "Don't you know it? The one Sunday I miss, Jesus shows up." As many of you are aware, the procession of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday is recorded in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Of course, all these four Gospels account on Jesus' procession into Jerusalem are pretty much similar. Basically, it's the same story. However, there are some interesting differences among the four Gospels. For example, interestingly, there are no mention of palm trees except for the Gospel of John. And this morning's Gospel lesson is from Matthew. Verse 8 says, "A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees." It doesn't say palm trees. Well, yeah, and maybe that's not a big deal. Probably those palm trees were easily accessible and available to everyone in Jesus' time. So all three gospel writers assumed that people used palm branches to sing Hosanna. I don't think it's going to change anything. Then what about this? We all know Jesus rode a donkey for his procession. Unlike Mark, Luke, or John, this Matthew passage shows us an interesting record. In verse 2, Jesus instructs two of his disciples by saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me." Have you noticed that? The Gospel of Matthew says two animals, not just one donkey. A donkey tied and a colt with her. Yeah, it's definitely two animals. It's the plural number. Number two, the donkey and the colt. The verse 7 also clarifies two animals. Verse 7 says, "They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them." Wow, what a colorful and interesting sight it must have been. And here is the highlight. Verse 7 says, "Jesus even sat on them." How did he do that? Probably like this. Let me show you. You see this? Interesting, right? Why two animals here in Matthew? While all other three Gospels say it was only one donkey. Most Bible scholars agree that Matthew probably misread the original Old Testament text. Because when Matthew wrote this gospel, he quoted from Zechariah 9:9. It is quoted in Matthew 21, verse 5 of this morning's text here. Verse 5 says, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Yes, he somehow thought the Zechariah passage was talking about two animals, a donkey and a colt. However, here is the actual Zechariah 9, chapter 9, verse 9, original text. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Sounds like a one donkey, right? But anyhow, according to many reliable and sound commentaries written by biblical scholars, it is just an expression of the Hebrew language emphasizing a special word, a donkey, which symbolizes humility as opposed to a military-grade stallion or a strong warhorse, which apparently imply to power, force, might, and earthly kingdoms. In this case, the Roman Empire at the time. So it is indeed just one humble and peaceful animal, a donkey. The Wesley Study Bible also comments on this two animal confusion. It says, quote, "Matthew's preference for two animals is a misunderstanding of Zechariah 9:9. The humility of royalty riding on a donkey is stressed," unquote. So, case solved, mystery solved. It's just the one donkey that Jesus was riding on. Jesus is entering into Jerusalem as a king of peace. And that's more important point than counting the number of the animals involved. One donkey or two? Maybe it doesn't matter. On Palm Sunday, let's take a look at a more important thing that we normally dismiss or skip. Let's go back to verse 2. Jesus sends out two disciples to get a donkey. Jesus says in verse 2, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If," verse 3, "if anyone says anything to you, just say this, the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately." Do you think Jesus made some kind of a prearrangement with the owner of the donkey? No. Jesus never made a reservation from a rent a donkey agency. Jesus never made an online appointment to use that donkey for the important occasion, such as palm procession. Jesus never instructed his disciples about fetching a donkey until the first Palm Sunday. Jesus never has done this before. Yet, amazingly, everything is going very well. The two disciples trust and obey Jesus' instructions. Whoever the owner of the donkey was must be one of the most faithful followers of Jesus. However, we have no clue who that was. We don't know how the owner responds to the disciples' request. The Lord needs them, according to the same Matthew text. Interestingly, the John text does not mention about the two disciples borrowing the donkey from the owner, but simply states John 12:14 says, "Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it." Interesting, right? On the other hand, both Mark and Luke records the same phrase, "the Lord needs it." Yes, it is a simple yet profound message. The master needs your donkey. No further conversations, no further explanations, no further stories. The master gets the donkey. I don't think these two disciples threatened the owner. or bribed him or tried to solve the task by any other means. Somehow, this owner of the donkey, our unsung hero of this story, is not introduced in the gospel in any place. Throughout many Palm Sundays, we never paid any attention to this donkey guy. Yet I believe that his prompt and sincere response to the needs of Jesus, the Lord and Master, by giving up his donkey and give it to Jesus is something we need to ponder upon more than ever. Maybe Jesus is not likely appearing to you directly saying, "I need your donkey." Well, it is possible though. However, in our lives, in good times and bad, in opportunities or in crisis, like the pandemic situation beyond our control. I mean, yeah, we hear the disciples' voice, "The master needs your donkey." I don't think the donkey Jesus got is not just the one of many donkeys parked in a massive fleet of donkey depot or donkey land or whatever donkey store, right? It is not a surplus donkey out of abundance. Maybe this donkey is the only one the owner got for his essential business, farming, trading, or doing some other business to make a living every day. Maybe this donkey is everything the owner has. Maybe this donkey is not necessarily a thing to possess. It could be anything significant in life. Maybe this donkey can be your life, the one and only life. Maybe this donkey is a metaphor for anything in your life you believe that you cannot live it without it. So what if you are expected to respond to this request? The master needs your donkey, your donkey, your donkey. What would you say to the Lord? Maybe Jesus is not expecting you to sacrifice anything from your life. However, what if Jesus is asking you to be like him or to follow him seriously? Would you be able to do so? In the Philippians text, Apostle Paul urges us to imitate Christ who died for us on the cross. The early Christians called this passage as the Christ hymn. "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." My friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, we are living in one of the most unpredictable, uncertain, and scariest times. Whether we are staying at home or working and helping other people to sustain our lives, we are just scared, afraid, and anxious. It's natural to experience these feelings, and it's okay. I came across a TV program recently, and it was a some kind of a fundraising event show featuring some internationally well-known celebrities, singers especially. Anyhow, I heard the show host saying something like this: referring to our new pandemic life. He said, quote, "It's okay to be sad. It's okay to grieve. It's okay to be anxious. But we need to move on." Crisis, even though it's scary and unpleasant, always brings an opportunity to move on for us. Unexpected things can always happen because we are still breathing and living. Of course, it's not that easy or simple to move on. We are struggling to figure out best ways. We are trying hard to make the best choices out of the darkest days. It takes some more discernment, more wisdom, more strength, and more courage. And we are blessed to be able to sing still. What a friend we have in Jesus, just as our musician Dominic sang amazingly a couple Sundays ago. Yes, we are blessed to have someone you can always turn to. Jesus, who is the master of your life? This morning, Jesus is asking for your own, one and only donkey. Well, your donkey, whatever it is, or whatever you value and cherish is, it is the master's donkey in the first place. Your life belongs to God from the beginning to the end. In Romans 14:8, Apostle Paul proclaims boldly, "If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we belong to God." We belong to God. Yes, that's our blessed assurance. I believe the owner of the donkey from Matthew and all other Gospels is an amazing person of God, a person of faith, a person of commitment, a person of determination. He knows God's timing. Remember the Kairos? He trusts in God's provision and care always. Who knows? He might be living his entire lifetime waiting for this awesome moment to show his love for God through providing his precious donkey. He might be ready, and he showed his faith in action without any hesitations. My brothers and sisters in Christ, today, Palm Sunday, is the first day of Holy Week. As you are walking the last week, the Holy Week, with Jesus, who is on the way to the cross, meditate on God's steadfast love through the sacrificial love of Christ. All this is happening because God loves you so much. And the best thing is yet to come. Thanks be to God. Amen.